Proverbs this evening, chapter 3, verse number 5. God's word, it reads like this, and I believe it's for somebody here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And here's the promise. He shall direct thy paths. Can I read that to you one more time? Can you just let that sink down in your soul tonight? Can you let that just really get a grip around your heart? Trust in the Lord. Not a program, not a plan, a person. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I want to talk to somebody in this house tonight, if the Lord had helped me, simply on this thought, trusting God with your future. Father, would you simply have your way in this house? I thank you. I bless you. I lift up the name of the Lord and magnify your holy name. I pray that you would reach down and touch us tonight. God, I don't know who may be in this place, God, but you do. And I'm asking you, Jesus, deal with us. Speak to us. Let your word have free course. It will not return void. I pray, God, give me that clarity of thought, that quality of expression, that divine anointing from the Spirit of God. I pray, change us by your word. And for this, we give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. And everybody in the house of the Lord said amen. Amen and amen. Are you in this house tonight and maybe you're at a crossroads? Maybe there's some decisions that stand before you. Maybe there's something that's facing you that you don't really know which way to turn or go. Can I tell you, beloved, I don't want to get ahead of God and I don't want to get behind God, but if I had to make one of those two choices, heaven forbid, I'd rather get a little behind God than I ever would get ahead of God. It's when you get ahead of God that you start making decisions and choices that you look back and regret. It's men that may hear from God, but then they get ahead of God, and just like Moses did, the Lord told him to be a missionary, he winds up being a murderer because he's getting ahead of God. Sometimes men and women, they feel impressed to the Lord, but they don't have the green light yet, and they make decisions that they look back on and regret. I say to you tonight, beloved, if you would just trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but if you would acknowledge him in all your ways, he would direct your paths. It's black ink on white paper. It's a promise from the Lord, and it's a promise you can have tonight. Can you say amen? You don't have to be in the dark concerning the will of God. The will of God is not something he's trying to keep from you. The will of God is something he's trying to get to you. It doesn't matter if it's young people. In fact, it's not just college age or high school age. I don't care how old you are, we still need the will of God in our life. We need to be directed by the Spirit of the Lord. We need to know which way to go. Listen, beloved, I'm not talking about the people that find themselves in bondage because every morning they got to get up and hear a special word from heaven, whether or not it's going to be, you know, Cheerios or Frosted Flakes. I don't want to talk about. But I am telling you, beloved, there's some decisions that we make in life where we need to know this is the will of the Lord. This is the direction of God. This is what the Lord desires from me. And can I tell you, if you will do what the proverb says tonight, his promise is yea, and it is amen. It's not just for a preacher. It's not just for a deacon. It's not just for a teacher. It's for whosoever will. You can walk in the pleasing way of the path of God. Can you say amen? If I'm going to know what God desires for my life, it's not going to be because I just blindly walk into it. It's not going to be because the only thing I do every now and again is reach in that little prayer promise box and pick up one scripture and think a little dab will do you, and that ought to be good for the next month or so. No! It starts with this. Brother Taylor, I have to have an absolute confidence in an unfailing God. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you really trusting in the Lord? Now come on, don't answer it openly. You don't even have to answer it fast, but you got to answer it sometime. Are you really
trusting God? Is God the backup plan if something else doesn't work out? Is God plan B if this doesn't come through? Or is He yea and amen? Have you ever been around some people sometime and they go, well, I guess the only thing left we can do is pray about it? I said, prayer is the last resort. Come on, say amen, beloved. It ought not be plan B or C or C or whatever. It ought to be, I am trusting in the Lord. The Lord's going to see me through. I believe that He'll keep His hand upon me. I'm looking unto God. I've got to have a full confidence in the Lord. Now, can I say it tonight, friend? If you're having difficulty trusting in the Lord, it may be that you don't love Him like you think you love Him. Because it's hard to trust somebody you don't love. And it's hard to love somebody, come on, say it, you don't trust. Do you really have an unyielding confidence in an unchanging God? It's like that one man. You heard about that one man, didn't you? He was walking along that trail. It was kind of late at night. And sure enough, he lost his footing. And by the moment he slipped off the edge of that, didn't know there was a cliff right there. And sure enough, he began to stumble and fall. And he reached up and grabbed a hold of that limb that was sticking out there. His feet are dangling off the edge of that cliff. He can hear water crashing underneath him. And about that time, he yells out, help! Help! Brother Marty hears a voice, and the voice says, do you need help? He says, yes! And the voice says, do you trust me? The man says, yes! And the voice says, let go of the limb! And the man says, is there anybody else up there? Amen. Come on, don't look at me so sanctified. You've been there too. Lord God, I need your help. Lord God, would you lean? All of a sudden, the Lord begins a legion somewhere in the back. Oh, come on, somewhere in the back of that mind, we're always thinking, is there some other way? I'm telling somebody tonight, you need to get a bulldog grip on this. You need to get a grip and not let go and say, I heard from heaven. I know what God desires, and I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm not looking for a way out of it. I'm not going to run off and leave the presence of God. I'm going to stay where He wants me to stay. I'm going to do what He wants me to do. I'm going to live like He wants me to live. Jeremiah 10 and 23, put it like this. Oh, somebody needs to put it down in their Bible, put it down in their heart. Oh, Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. In other words, you don't know. You ain't smart enough. You ain't quick enough. You don't have enough learned degrees. You ain't got enough rich uncles to pull you through. You have got to get a hold of God. You have got to say, Lord, what's your will, Father? What do you desire, oh Lord? It's not in me, but it is in you. Now, when it comes to the will of the Lord, some people think, I think that they're going to have this huge epiphany. Woo! Brother, I know exactly what to do now. For the next 35 years, wrong. God doesn't work like that. God's not going to tell you every detail of what's going to happen in the next 3.5 decades. And thank God that He doesn't, because if He did, we'd give up, wouldn't He? Now, come on. In the will of God, you're still going to have problems. In the will of God, you're still going to have trials. I hope you understand the will of God is not the escape hatch from all the troubles in life. And can I tell you, beloved, if you're going to live for God, you are going to suffer some form of persecution. Somewhere down the line, somebody's going to say something, do something. But I have peace that passes all understanding. Brother Taylor, the peace that I have, the world didn't give it. The world can't take it away. Understand, peace is not the subtraction of all my problems. It is the addition of Jesus Christ in the middle of it with me. Amen. Sometimes He's there to get you out of trouble. Sometimes He's there to get in trouble with you. He says, scoot over, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'll get in that fire with you. I'll get in that furnace with you. You are in my will, in that furnace, but you're not going to be alone. Keep your eyes on the Lord. And He doesn't say it all. He doesn't reveal it all. Why? Because with God, hear me, it's not a road map. It's a relationship. Oh, I'm telling you, if we had a road map with God, we'd say, now listen, you tell me where to make my turns. Other than that, I don't think I need to talk to you, huh? Could you imagine if I were to get in that car with Sister Estes and I'd say, okay, now we're going to Oklahoma this week. We're going to a church we've never been at before. So here's what I want you to do, Sister Estes. I want you to tell me every turn I need to make. Well, that'd be great. We'll have time to talk. Oh, no. I don't want to talk to you in these next 10 and a half hours. What? No, I don't want to talk to you. But you tell me where to make a turn. And if you ever don't tell me where to turn, it's going to be your fault. First of all, that would be a very ignorant person to do such a thing as that, huh? You heard me say it before. It's about like that one man. He got so mad at his wife that night. Ooh, it was bad. He wasn't even going to say goodnight to her. He's going to sleep on the couch that night. He'd had it up to here. So he went ahead and he wrote her a letter. He said, you wake me up at 5 in the morning. I have a plane to catch. Don't be late! ! Put it on the kitchen table. He woke up at 6:45. He was livid. I mean, you could just see steam coming out of his ears. He was so mad. He's going to walk back to that back bedroom, give her a piece of his mind. He started walking back there, and about that time, he passed that kitchen table, and there was a note right next to his note, and he picked it up, and it read, it's 5 a.m., get up. You ain't going to talk to me, I ain't. Amen. We can't treat God saying the only time I want you to talk to me is when I need to make a turn. The only time I want you to talk so I don't run into some dead end. Friend, if you don't keep a living relationship with God, no wonder you're not staying in the will of God. Say amen to me, son. If you're not keeping this thing vibrant and up to date, if you're not keeping this thing alive, if you're not speaking to Him daily, friend, if you don't speak to Him in the good times, no wonder He ain't talking to you in the bad times. Say amen. We need to come back again and say, Lord, let me keep my relationship with You. Let me hear from You, because I can assure you they're going to be some bad times out there. There's going to be a few dark days. There's going to be some days you need to make a turn and don't know which way to go. But here's what I do know. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen a seed begging bread. When I've needed Him, He's been there for me. Good times and sad times alike. I'm glad to know He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Can somebody give God a hand clap of praise in this house? Well, glory. Proverbs 4:18 says it like this, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. So get the picture. Here's that man, he gets up early in the morning, looks outside, and he can't quite make it out. But he knows it's out there. So Brother Eddie, he can just about see the outline of the trees. And then that light slowly begins to pierce the darkness. He still can't quite figure it out, but the shape's starting to take more of a solid look. And that sun gets a little higher, and then he can see exactly what the plains look like. The sun gets a little higher, and the shadows back up. Before you know it, it's high noon, and he sees the exact path to take. Friend, God may not tell you everything in one cymbal crashing aha moment, but as you follow Him and as you're led by Him, He begins to show you that. And you feel that burden in your heart and say, now, Lord, I feel this burning in my heart. Lord, is this You? And somehow or another, that little holy nudge just starts pushing you ever so slightly, ever so softly over in that direction. And then time starts coming around. You start seeing it just a little clearer and a little clearer. And it begins to take shape and it begins to take a form. And before you know it, you say, yes, this is the will of the Lord. This is exactly what God. He doesn't share with you the bad times, but you know what? He don't even share with you some of the good times. Because when you get there, it'll be so joyous. Could you ever had imagined? And then we were talking last last night about one of the times, I believe it was Brother Gary Morgan was here. He said, hell, I need an ambulance. I'm thinking to myself, now who would ever need an ambulance? But can I tell you, there was a man in that church service that night that was connected and got that man an ambulance in just a few days. If the Lord would have told you that 20 years ago, you never would have believed it. But you kept on walking toward His will, and you kept on walking toward His way. And before you know it, He begins to show you the way of God ever so brightly. You'd have told this young boy, well, this, I'd have said, no way. But I look back, Brother Bowman, and by the mercy and grace of God, I say, thank God I just trusted in you. I kept my heart on you. I believed, and little by little, Brother Taylor, He just began to reveal it to me. He began to reveal it to me. Oh, come on here. He began to reveal. I'm talking to somebody tonight, and I'm telling you, you need to let God choose the way for your life. Let God choose it. Don't come in here and say, now, Lord, now here's my will. I need you to rubber stamp that, okay? Just sign on the bottom right-hand corner. No, no. God, here's a blank check. My signature's on the bottom right-hand corner. You fill in all the rest. Lord, whatever you want, wherever you want it, whenever you want. Are you fully committed to the Lord? Are you fully trusting in God? Oh, Brother Estes, I just wish He would show me more. Tell that to Joseph. All that boy has is a couple of crazy dreams, and no doubt the devil spoke to him 1,000 times and said, no, that ain't from God. That's the buttermilk and onions you had before you went to bed at night, Joseph. That wasn't no dream from the Lord. But somewhere in the back of his heart, he says, no, this was God. This is God. This will be. I don't know how God's going to get me out of the prison. I don't know how God's going to get me out of the pit. But before we know it, the man goes from the pit to the palace. I'm telling you, beloved, it may not be before you right now, but you hold on to God. It could be there tomorrow morning. It could be there tomorrow night. It could be there next Sunday. You just keep walking with God. And when you get there, He'll be there to greet you with a smile. Somebody say amen. I could go on and on with stories. I don't want to bore you. I was with, you've heard me say it, mercy, I know my children have. I was with Brother Craig Benner years ago. We were there in San Luis Potosí. Tell you how long ago it was. We're building a 9-foot perimeter wall around that property of his. And they had two different groups from Florida come, and they were A number one block layers. I mean, they could slap some mortar and mud and all that stuff, and you know, hip joints, foot joints, all that stuff. And I'm keeping up best I can with them. And they'd say, line up, when they'd get that next row up there. And all of a sudden, I'd look around and I'd say, uh-oh, we're just about out of blocks and bricks. Oh, God, what are we going to do? Lord, I didn't bring these men from their place in Florida, leave their family for a week for them to sit around and twiddle their thumbs. Lord, what are we going to do? And just about the time they get to that almost last brick, here'd come another truckload coming down that road and dump off a fresh load of bricks. Leave, and they'd work, and guess what? Man full of faith, power, and love. Yeah, me, right. I'd say, oh, no, we're almost out of bricks, God. What are we going to do? And almost the last brick, here'd come that other truckload with a full load of bricks. We got finished with that 9-foot perimeter wall. Sister, if I remember, it was a Wednesday night. We were just having a Wednesday night service, and my back was toward the congregation. I got finished preaching. They were all praying around the front, and I just lifted my hands, and I said, God, I want to say thank you for all that you've done for me this week. And I just began to give him praise and give him glory. And I thought the Lord just stopped me in the middle of that prayer. And Brother Taylor, he asked me a question. I'll never forget it. He just asked me this one question. Zane, were you ever without a brick in your hand, son? I said, no, sir, no. I felt the Lord speak to me and said, when you need it, when you really need it, you stretch forth your hand and I will fill it, saith the Lord. Oh, somebody lift your hands to heaven and give Him praise in this. I'm going to trust in the Lord. great God. I feel the Holy Ghost in this. I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm just going to let God choose the way. Lord God, it's your timing. It's your will. It's your way. I'm not going to rush it. I'm not going to push it. I'm going to present myself a single holy before the Lord and let you fill this vessel with your spirit. I'm going to pray, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I'm going to let God move like God desires to move. For the Lord knows the way that I take. And Lord, you've never failed me yet. Hallelujah. Number one tonight, let God choose the way. Number two, let God confirm the way. Let God confirm that way. There's a lot of folks say, "No, brother, that's just I feel like God's wanting me to do something. I feel like, but how do I know? What do I? I'm not talking about just, you know, throwing out a fleece here and there. No. Let's go a little deeper than that, please. How does God confirm His will? Let me give you these four, and I hope they're practical to you. Number one, by God's word. God confirms His will through His word. Okay. If what you think is God's will, if that is a counter-distinctive to God's word, okay, let me settle this for you tonight. That's not God's will. If what you say is one thing and God's word says is another thing, then that's not God's will. Amen. If God's word goes against it, it's settled right there. No need to go any further. Amen. No need to tell me you got some new, brand new revelation and an angel of the Lord told you something specific and you're the exception to the clause and everybody else is wrong. No, sir. If what you're saying is God's will goes against God's word, throw it in the trash and say, Lord, let me follow your word. Let me live your word. Let me love your word. Let me listen to your word. Had a man one time, pastor, tell me, he said there was a certain individual in his church and he left his wife, found someone half her age and twice the trouble. He said, I'm telling you, he said his wife was a good, holy wife. She was a sanctified woman. This man was just selfish and carnal and wanted to fulfill his own desires. But oddly as that is, even selfish, carnal people, some for some reason, feel like they have to come to the preacher and justify what they're doing. It's odd. They know they're wrong, but they got to plead their case like they're right. And so, man, he comes up and he starts talking to that pastor. And the preacher just opens up the Bible and he turns it around. And as softly as he can, he says, well, let's just see what God's word says about that. Now, I'm not going to do it. But he said that other man took his hand, she raised it up and slammed it on that Bible, looked at him and gritted his teeth, and he said, I don't care what that book says. Let me tell you something, friend. I care what the book says. I care what the book says. We've put friendships on the line because we care what the book says. Yeah, we've lost revivals because we care what the book says. Yeah, doors have been closed sometimes because we care what the book says. And at the end of the day, I got no regrets for the moment, because at the end of the day, we're going to be judged by what's inside this book. Not the latest trend, not what's growing the fancy church, not what everybody's flocking to, but what does thus saith the Lord say? And I want to follow the way and the word of God. Can you say amen? The word of God, the wisdom of God. James 1 and 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask, and let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. God can put godly leaders in your life to help you make godly decisions. God can put spiritual authorities in your life. And for those folks that think they don't need any spiritual authority in their life, oh, Lord, help them. You don't understand what Ephesians 4 and 11 means. Go back and read it on your own. But God can bring people in your life to help you pray it and help you think it and ask you the questions you're probably not wanting to ask, you're not wanting to ask yourself. I heard there was one lady, she was at a certain revival, and she told the pastor, she said, you know, I read in the Bible where it says, much is forgiven, well, that person's going to love much. And so I just thought, maybe I need to backslide just for a little while and go out and sin. That way I can come back and I think I'll love God more. And the pastor looked at her and he said, ma'am, that's not wisdom. Don't do that. That's not what you need to do. Thank God. I mean, she was a simple woman, okay? But thank God she listened to her pastor. Thank God there's people that can walk into your life and say, think about this. Do this. I'm not talking about people that try to manipulate. And I know that's out there. I know there's folks that's lords over and all that stuff. And they've got this kingpin mentality and thumb down on everybody. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm telling you, there are godly people that can walk into your life that can help you if you'll have a heart that's open and you're having a heart that's willing to listen. And can I tell you something, friend? They may not be much older than you, and they may be older than you. But when the Bible speaks of that elder, it's not necessarily an age, but it truly is a mark of wisdom, how mature. Who is that person in the Lord? Don't go to somebody with no spiritual maturity. Look to somebody that has spiritual maturity, that's been through some trials, that's been through some tests, that's made some right decisions in their life. Look to them and ask them to help you pray about a matter. The word, the wisdom, prayer. Prayer. Yes, prayer. Hope I ain't boring you tonight. Prayer can help you know the will of God. We pray about decisions we have to make. We pray about things that are in front of us. Yeah, that's right. Me and my wife, we even pray together about it. I hope your home is not a place where prayer is awkward. Don't let me preach on that tonight, but in more of our quote-unquote Pentecostal homes, it's more than what we want to admit, where there's never any prayer. And if there was prayer, it would be an awkward thing. Don't let that be said of your home. Let prayer be natural inside of your house. There's a situation, let's pray about it. There's a circumstance, let's pray about it. Prayer can speak to you. Prayer can guide you. Prayer, when you get a hold of God in prayer. Listen, beloved, all I'm saying is there's times, if it's necessary, you push a plate away, you seek God and fast, son. There are some major decisions in life. Not every decision is major, but there are some major decisions in life. And when you got to seek God, now's the time to do it. I remember years ago, Brother Ben Shaw said to me, and if you don't know him, he's got that beautiful southern drawl to him. He said, Zane, he said, why is it that young folk have to make the most important decisions in life when they so young and they don't know nothing? Amen. I'm sorry, but that's true. Amen. I know you pass calculus. I know you can ace geometry, but there's some major decisions in life. And before you just run off and go make a decision that you regret, I'm asking you as a preacher of the Word of God, would you pray about it? Would you seek the Lord of it? Would you sincerely cry out to God? It may just lead you away from a path of destruction. Can someone say amen? It's kind of hard to unscramble an egg. And believe me, we're not throwing off on folks. And some of them can testify and say, I wish that would have been me. I wish I'd have listened to them. We're not throwing off because our hearts hurt alongside you. And here's what we're asking. For some of those same people to come along, alongside some of our younger people and encourage them. Before you make a rash decision, pray about it. Pray about it. Hey, I'm not saying you have to do this. Okay, I'm not just a personal example. Okay, personal time with Zane Estes. Okay, I'm not saying you have to do this. But for me. Now, I love that little girl. I mean, I was head over heels for that little girl. I felt it was God's will. But before I was going to ask anything, for me, I feel like I needed an all-night prayer meeting. And I remember I was in South Florida, and I was praying. And I remember I was around one of them front pews. And it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I felt the no-so come all over my heart. Didn't you know before? Sure, I knew. But there's sometimes you just got to know that you know that you know. Prayer. I'll say this, and I'm okay. The word, the wisdom, prayer. Hey,
providence.
Sometimes the will of the Lord, sometimes it's deciphered by the very providence of God in your life. You may not know what God's will is, but there are some things you say, okay, I know what God's will is not. That's over. That door is closed. That's finished. I have to move on from here. I have to keep... Sometimes God's providence has a way of shaping you and bumping you and pushing you ever so slightly in this direction, in this direction, in this direction, in this direction. Friend, you need to pray, Lord, guide my steps, direct my feet. Lord, you said the steps of a good man, they are ordered of the Lord, and sometimes to the very providence of God. And before you start thinking, woe is me, the devil's fighting, I want you to hold on for a second and remember this promise, amen, that everything works together for good to them that love Christ Jesus, that are the called according to His purpose. If you're walking with Him, if you're living for God, I'm telling you, beloved, it is the will of God. Some of the trials that come, I can't explain it, but God will use it for His glory. If I'm ever there in Pennsylvania teaching, and I've taught it overseas before, I play the good and bad game, and I make every one of my students play the good and bad game. No, I didn't bring my cell phone with me, so I don't know how long I've been preaching. Just wave if it gets too long, okay? I play the good and bad, and I make every student play the good and bad game. You cannot not play the good and bad game. Okay, you ready for the good and bad game? Okay. Here's a man. He's a very poor man. He's got a son, and they've got one horse. And they're very poor. And the townspeople convince him. They say, if you will sell that horse, you can get some money, and you and your son can live off the money. You can have food. Oh, they decide to do that. And Pickles, in the middle of the night, the horse runs away. Is that good or is that bad? That's bad. Okay, point for team bad. That's so bad. But then 3 days later, the horse comes back with four other horses. Is that good or is that bad? Oh man, we're testifying. It's church time. I just want to let the Lord, I don't want to give God praise for it. Amen. Amen. I mean, Wednesday night, devil's been fighting you and you're ready to give up. Sunday morning, you can't stand seated. You can't stay seated. You're just shouting hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, 1 point for team good. But wait a second. The son decides to get on one of those horses to try to break one of those horses. And as he's trying to break that horse bucks that son off. He falls on his leg and the son breaks his leg. Is that good? Good or is that bad? Oh, bad, team bad. But wait! There's a war that breaks out, and the king requires all young men to be drafted to go off to some war. But because the boy's got a broke leg, now he's able to stay home and help his father. Now, is that good or is it? Do you see the point? Okay, there's things in life. If I look at it just like this, I say, God, no, that's bad. But if I would just let God be God, He has a way of turning that and working it for good. And there may be a few things we say, oh boy, this is good. And I don't know what may lead to it, but it may lead to something over here. But if I'll just keep holding on to God, He's going to work it for good over here. I'm telling you, if we could see things from the perspective of God, we wouldn't say, well, today was a bad day or today was a good day. We'd say, Lord, all things are working together for good. Lord, you're working it for my glory. You're working it for my good and your glory. And I'm just going to trust in the Lord. I'm just going to lean on the Lord. I'm just going to look to the Lord, because you're going to work this out in the by and by. I'll understand it better. Somebody give Him praise. We were in Africa and Brother Marty was getting bicycles and Bibles to our Kenyan pastors. Oh, and I had one Kenyan pastor. He said, praise God, praise God, praise God. He said, the Lord speak to me. He said, Lord, tell me you are an evangelist. He said, but Lord, I have no bicycle. He said, how can I be an evangelist? I have no bicycle. He said, and you come and you bring a bicycle. I said, praise God. Well, we got to go back year after year, you know. Of course, this was years ago. And I come 1 year. I looked at him. I said, hey there, pastor. I said, hey there, evangelist. I said, hey there, evangelist. He looked back at me and said, call me pastor. man, what happened? He begins to tell me. He said, here he's been an evangelist for a few years now. He said, and the Lord speak to me and say, you ought to go pastor. And he said, no, Lord. He said, I have a bicycle. This is tearing the guy to shreds. God, I want to do your will. Oh, I want to do your will. But I cannot. I have a bicycle, oh God. He's tore up. Lord, God, I can't just let a bicycle sit on the side. You know how important them bicycles are. You can't, Lord, I want it, but what's your will? He said, I'm crying out to God. I don't know what to do. I want to be pleasing to the Lord. He said, in one day, he said, I go out to the town square. He said, I park my bicycle. He said, I turn and I begin to preach. And I preach and I preach for 45 minutes. He said, and I turn around and someone had stolen my bicycle. And I said, praise God, praise God. I will be a pastor. I will. Listen, beloved. But he's not blaming the devil. He's not saying, look how awful the devil is. He's saying the Lord is going to make a way. God's got all things under control. I wish some of you would get a hold of this. I wish some of you would stop giving the devil credit and say, the Lord is working for my good. Can somebody give God the praise that he deserves? Gotta be a hard test. I don't know if we could do that in America. Does anyone have a testimony tonight? I just want to thank the Lord. My bike got stole today. I want to give God praise for that. No, in our churches, that wouldn't have been a testimony. That would have been a moany. Tell when I'm getting in that zone, I'm backing up. I'm sorry. You don't know if you're anointed or just frustrated. You know what I'm saying? There's got to be a place where you step back and you say, Lord, through your word, through your wisdom, through prayer, and through your providence, you will confirm the way. I close tonight. Some of you have prayed, oh God, choose the way. Some of you have prayed, oh God, confirm the way. But I want you to notice what the rest of that scripture said. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Yasher in Hebrew. And it means, literally, Brother Taylor, it means to cut, to slice, to push, to pull apart, to make a way. To clear a path. Some of you have asked God, Lord, would you choose it? Some of you prayed, God, would you confirm it? Somebody in this house needs to pray, oh God, would you clear it? Would you clear the path, oh God? Lord, I need you to clear the path. I know it's your will. You've burned it in my heart. And I'm asking you, Father, to clear the path for my life. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Won't you lean to your own understanding? In all your ways you acknowledge him. And here is his promise. I will, yes, share. I will cut a path open. I will force a door. I will push back the enemy. I will make that path plain. In fact, that word, it's the same understanding. It's the same Hebrew thought, same Hebrew word. It's found there in Isaiah 40 in verse number 3, where it speaks of the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked path shall be made straight. And the rough place is plain. That's what the Lord does. He'll push it up. He'll pull it down. He'll straighten it out. He'll bend it out. Whatever it takes. Amen. If you'll just walk with him, he will do it. Oh, God. You ever been in one of those... you ain't never been in one of them traffic jams on one of them back county roads, have you? You know, they have the marker out. You know, road construction, 0.5 miles. And in the back of your mind, you're optimistic enough where you think, maybe somebody forgot to pick up that sign. And then you turn that corner and you see all those brake lights on and you go, nope,
We're going to be here a while.
Now, if you wanted to, I guess you could slide by everybody's, put the pedal to the metal and squeal and get by. But you're going to put your life at danger. You're probably going to hurt somebody else along the trail. We've done that. We've gone down those roads and seen those construction stops and been out for weeks. And then on the way back, it'd be a smooth road. Now, I'm not saying God's doing this, but just in my mind's eye, if you could touch a liberty here, if you could picture those angel of the Lord clearing that path for you. Things may be stopped up right now, but just like every one of those construction crew members are, hey, over here, over there, push it. Hey, what? That's enough. Step down. And they're building that road. The mighty hand of God. And they're saying, hey, come on, come on. Hey, he's coming by on Thursday. I want this road working. You hear me? When he gets here, it'll be smooth. No dips. No cliffs. And you ride along it, and you don't even realize how messed up it was just a few weeks before. And the Lord, yes, shares, clears the path for you. I'm talking to someone. Let the Lord choose the way. Let the Lord confirm the way. Let the Lord clear the way. Prayed for 3 years for Brazil. God burned that country on my heart. I've told you the story. Brother Jerry Turner calls up Brother Burkett. Say, I got a young man here. I want you to take to Brazil with you. His common response, I'm sure he's a good young man. I do not know him. The answer is no. Click. What did you do, Brother Estes? Did you get online and start tearing people down? No, I prayed. I prayed. Some odd 3 years, 3 years later, Brother Turner said, I picked up Brother Burkett from the airport. We're traveling back to those woods. Small talk ended, and we kind of had a quiet moment in the car. And he said, Brother Turner, he said, you remember that young man you spoke to me about, Brother Estes? He said, I sure do. He said, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. He said, I'm supposed to take him to Brazil with me. Wait on God. Clear the path. Just talked to the brothers 2 days ago. Said, Brother Estes, we're looking forward to you teaching at the Bible school in July. You look to the Lord. You lean on the Lord. He'll get you where he's wanting you to go. You can start anytime you'd like, Sister Estes. Brother Marty, I heard about an evangelist one time, and he'd been out for several weeks. And he came home, and he had a daughter. And she was, we'd say, crippled. She was disabled. And when she was in that house, she didn't like to really move around on those crutches, if you will, so she just kind of scooted on that floor. So the dad walked in that house, and as soon as he walked in that house, that little girl saw him. She scooted over to that dad and looked up at her dad and said, Dad's home, Dad's home. He reached down there and kissed her on her forehead, and she noticed that he had a box in his hand, wrapped beautiful with a bow. And that little girl looked at Dad, and she said, Dad, is that for Mom? He said, well, it sure is. She looked up at her dad and she said, Dad, can I take that to Mama? Well, the father was wise enough to know with that heavy of a box, there's no way she could have carried that to her mother. And he said, and then she looked at him again. She said, Dad, can I please take it to Mom? Well, he saw that glimmer in her eye, and, you know, he knew she had something up her sleeve. He said, okay, I'll let you take it to Mother. He took that box. And he placed it in her lap. She put both arms around that box and looked at it. Then she looked up at her daddy and she said, "Dad, will you pick me up and take me, Mom?" Hey, isn't it amazing? The Lord puts something in our lap, knows good and well, I can't carry this thing. I can't move it. I couldn't get it from point A to point B. And then the Lord reaches way down and scoops us up and says, "Now listen, I'm going to carry you, but you're going to deliver it." Thank God. He'll take me right where I need him to take me, Brother Taylor. Right when I need him to take me. I'm not an old man. I ain't a young man no more. I'm right there in between. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Somebody lift your hand to heaven and give him the glory. Can we stand all over this house tonight? Oh, somebody worship him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall, yes, share thy paths. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for opening doors I never could open. Thank you, God, for supplying in ways I never could have imagined. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for leading me every step of the way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You've been good to me. You've been good to my family, and I praise you for it.